favorite scary movie. Have you checked the children?
It's all for you!
We have such sights to show you.
Oh, sorry, shit, I know we're already getting into it.
I'm sorry. I forgot we were recording.
Let's come back.
I gotta keep you guys
in check. You got two Halloween boys here. We're so willingly sharing our opinions on the series.
In check. Anyway, let's go ahead and get started. Mm. Are we good? Are we slowly getting caffeinated?
That's good. I'm waking up.
All right.
Yes. Yeah,
welcome back,
there.
Everyone, to another episode of the Horrible People's Podcast. I am your host, Alex Webster. With me, as always, is Anthony Fuentes.
This is Halloween.
He is kinda so dead. Joining us per Halloween tradition, because you know what we're covering. In the studio, Phil Acevedo.
What's up, guys? And as usual, I brought the Halloween tin can full of goodies, and there's some candies right there for you guys. Reese's. let me get this Reese's Pieces pumpkin. Pumpkin-shaped Reese's Pieces right there. That sounds pretty good.
Honestly, these are really good this year. Holy shit.
We got full-size candy bars this year.
Yeah. I mean, it's right there by the cash register at your local Rite Aid. You know?
I'll have the Reese's pumpkin.
I may indulge in a little bit.
But guys,
if I can just
chime in here for a second. Guys, I've had the honor and privilege to being on a few of these episodes, and every time I'm on it, it's a jam. I have a great time, especially with you two. You guys are my favorite podcast hosts. I have been praying and hoping to the podcast gods that one day I'll be asked to talk about this movie, and guys, the time is here.
Oh, man.
Because you guys invited me to talk about none other than 1978's Halloween, directed by John Carpenter, starring Jamie Lee Curtis, produced by Deborah Hill. I cannot wait. Let's fucking go, baby!
Oh, man. Do you want to tell him this time?
I was going to say.
I told him last time.
Did you tell him last time?
Yeah.
You're off by couple decades.
Wait, what do you mean?
Almost three. Yeah.
Yeah, almost three.
Almost three.
Wait, so what are we covering then?
not John Carpenter's.
No.
wait, what?
let's just, we'll just play Dracula and get you back into the mood because we are covering.
Take you back to the whimsical year of 2007.
Yeah. Remember, that's when nerds became cool because of Transformers, but also when.
Oh, God. Guys, are we talking about Rob Zombie's Halloween?
Yes, we are.
Well, in spirit of the Super Mario Brothers trailer that came out this week, boom, 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 dun, 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 dun. I saw that trailer like 5 times.
Yeah, I saw it a lot, actually.
I actually
really
liked it.
Oh. Wrong podcast.
Yeah.
Yes.
Also, listeners, by the time you hear this, me and Phil will have watch the West Coast premiere of Halloween Ends.
Yes.
So stay tuned on IGs for our opinions on that one.
Very excited. Despite of what Twitter has done to me by spoiling it for me, I'm still very excited.
He might hate Twitter, but...
Yeah. Yes.
The love for Halloween is still there.
Yeah, except this one, which he has to read the IMDb.
All right, yeah. So Halloween 2007. The IMDb synopsis, right?
IMDb.
None other. After being committed for 17 years, Michael Myers, or as Phil Acevedo likes to call him, Michael Daddy Myers, now a grown man and still very dangerous, escapes from the mental institution and immediately returns to Haddonfield to find his baby sister, Lori.
Oh, I like that this combines like two plot points from the first two movies and is like, let's just bastardize the fuck out of this.
Let's just be very efficient.
Right.
It's efficiency. I'm sorry. My mistake.
And of course, written and directed by none other than Mr. Dracula himself, Rob Zombie.
It is written and directed by Rob Zombie.
Very clearly.
Has his grubby little hellbilly hands all over it.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. And we will get there. I cannot wait. But this is, of course, based on Halloween by John Carpenter and Deborah Hill, R.I.P. And it stars Malcolm McDowell, Scout Taylor Compton, Tyler Main, Sherry Moon Zombie, Brad Dourif, Danielle Harris, and William Forsythe.
Yeah, whatever you say about this movie, this cast is pretty bad.
Yeah,
this is a Rob Zombie movie through and through. Because we get everyone. Because we also, we got Sid Haig in this bitch. Uh-huh. We got, like, we have...
Danny Trejo.
Danny Trejo's in here. Freaking...
The Danny Trejo scene hurts my heart every time.
I know.
I was good to you, Mike.
I wasn't really familiar with Scout Taylor Compton, but Yeah, she was cool in this.
Yeah, she was cool. Yeah, she was a good Laurie Strode. Good different Laurie Strode.
Yeah, she was cool. All right, so let's continue on here. So, box office info. The budget for Rob Zombie's Halloween was $15 million smackaroos.
Right, so he knows the currency.
He's aware.
And it was released on August 30th, 2007.
You're off by a day.
You'd be at 31st. It is right in front of you, Phil.
Oh, I said 31st? Yeah. Oh, wow. August 31st. Wow. I literally just cleaned my glasses. Wow.
You cleaned his glasses to see worse.
Apologies. Yeah, apologies. Apologies. August 31st, 2007. With a gross income of returns of 80 million or 80.4 million smackaroos.
Get this man a coffee.
Yes. I am.
If the coffee's done,
I am in it. I am the vortex of Webster's delicious coffee. This is good coffee.
That's actually really good. Yeah. Way to go. Good job.
Good job, Alex. Great host.
I flipped a switch, but thanks.
She's a good switch flipper.
Thanks.
By the way, Phil, did you listen to our Sleepy Hollow episode?
I was in the middle of it. I haven't finished it yet.
We were fucking high.
I think you guys even mentioned it. Yeah.
Several times.
Yeah. Which, good episode so far, by the way. I'm like halfway through it.
Thank you.
That's one of my favorites, actually.
Yeah, it's cool. It sounds like you guys had a good time, and Breezuela was supposed to be in it, huh?
Yeah.
You know, I'm here, so...
But by the way, I'm glad you recovered, James, because I talked a bunch of shit on the podcast, and then I got COVID.
And then he immediately got COVID. This is the first time I've seen you since you've recovered.
That's true. Yeah. I have not seen Alex Webster in 2 weeks.
No wonder I've been so sad.
Yeah. So, again, I just I got retribution for making fun of James getting COVID. I also made fun of the pores a lot in that podcast, too. But I think karmically, there's nothing they can do, so we're fine.
I hope so. Jeez, yeah. I don't hear you going bankrupt on me or anything like that.
No, definitely not. Definitely.
Jeez.
I think I got all the ill will from James, so it's okay.
Okay, good. I think we're all settled. I think all good vibes are in. I'm going to get some of these M&Ms if you guys want
some. Yeah, get the M&Ms. All right. So, we're going to get right into this one. As mentioned in our last look at Mr. Myers, Busta Rhymes' Kung Fu Kick may have done more to incapacitate Michael Myers than any strike from Laurie Strode. But there was still money to be made. And horror was actually, as we've talked about frequently, is making a lot of money in the early 2000s. It's making, like, a lot of money. Mm. Thank you, Saw. And Texas Chainsaw. So, what was the initial inspiration for Michael Myers' ninth outing? Turns out, it was Freddy versus Jason?
Yeah.
And Clive Barker?
Oh, yeah.
We'll explain. So, you see, kids, the fans had been waiting years for the clash between those two horror icons, and when they finally fought, it resulted in box office gold, that being Freddy Krueger and Jason Voorhees. Dimension Films wanted some of that horror Fight Club money, real bad. So, Ghostface had recently earned the ire of fans and critics alike due to Scream 3, unfortunately. So, they were out. But Dimension did have access to Pinhead of Hellraiser fame and Clive Barker's phone number. So, they made a call. And Clive Barker was a little scared, actually. So, the filmmaker didn't understand how both drastically different franchises could work together and would think up scenarios that he didn't want to see in the film. Like Pinhead walking around Haddonfield amongst trick-or-treaters and being complimented on his sick costume. He did like the title Halloween, though. So
I think that works. I like it. I actually like that.
Halloween is a nice title, actually. But Dimension Films had flirted with the idea of the film actually in the mid-90s, around the time of Halloween 6. Filmmaker Dave Parker made a pitch by stitching together a trailer using footage from Halloween 6 and Hellraiser 1 through 4 with a voiceover of his very own. Arrogant Man. I know, right? So Dave Parker's Halloween rewrote Michael Myers' origins, starting his story in a flashback where young, pre-sister-killing Michael is trick-or-treating and stumbles upon a weird house. Parker continues, quote, "So he goes into the house and sees the guy with the black boots who gives him the box. He opens it and the Lord of the Dead, Samhain, escapes from hell and takes over Michael's body because he doesn't want to be in hell. Now, Samhain is who the shape is, and that's why he can't be killed," unquote.
Is it the mispronunciation that's got you sighing right now, Miss Webster?
No, it's just the Samhain. Yeah. It's just every... Oh,
I know.
It's bad.
This has been prime Halloween 6 era, too, so yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so as for the rest of the story, Parker had plotted out that, too, actually. So to quote on that, "So the story takes place when people try to destroy the Myers house and they find the box hidden between the walls. Of course, they open it, and Pinhead shows up. And it's Halloween, and it's the Myers house, so Michael shows up because there are people there, and Pinhead recognizes that Michael is Samhain because he can feel it, which begins this whole battle in the real world, and of course, the third act takes them all to hell." End quote. Okay. Oh. David Parker, man, whatever
that
you want,
sounds
buddy.
Incredibly stupid.
When they go to hell, I just keep thinking of Spawn.
Right? Yeah. I was thinking that too. I'm like, give me that, like, because that had the same level
terrible
of CG.
CGI.
Yeah.
When they're having a battle in hell with all these CGI fire flames everywhere.
Oh my god, dude. With Michael Myers and Pinhead?
Oh,
Jesus.
God.
Jesus. So, of course, when Parker pitched this idea with the accompanying trailer footage to Dimension, they strongly considered it before turning his ass down and calling Clive Barker and John Carpenter instead. But wait. More, Alex.
Oh God!
What happened here? Because that was kind of. I feel like okay. Real that, quick though, I feel like David Parker was just like off the cuff. It did not sound like he really thought about
this
it.
This is very much. I wrote my essay the night before it was due.
Yes,
right. Yes, absolutely.
And then what if they go in hell? And because you know they're both bad and have a fist fight.
Because they can't use weapons. Because it's hell. What?
Oh, yeah.
So turns out both filmmakers were very interested in the project, and original Pinhead Doug Bradley was even more enthusiastic, badly wanting to work with Carpenter on the project. Clive Barker agreed to write, and Carpenter actually agreed to direct. Many in the industry were curious as to how the hell this would turn out, and Dimension themselves truly believed in the project. But you know who didn't believe in the project?
Who, Alex?
The fucking internet.
They don't believe in anything.
No. They don't believe in Santa. They don't believe in the Tooth Fairy. They don't believe in fuck all.
Astrology.
Samhain.
Yeah, they don't believe in astrology. Fuck you, Phil.
Sorry. I had to.
When presenting this concept to fans online, a poll was conducted by the studio to gauge interest. Most people were divided about the project, but not overly concerned either way. Halloween fans, however, were very vocal about their displeasure with the concept, and the recent poor performance of Resurrection did not help.
Look at our episode on Halloween Resurrection. 2 hours of shit talking
That was me post-COVID. That was my post-COVID.
That was your post-COVID. Yeah, I got it this time. Oh my god.
I remember.
At least you aren't like, your voice is intact.
Yeah, but it's been a while.
That's fair. Dimension Films was still on board, however, but Mustafa Akkad was not. Prior to his death, Akkad vetoed the project, and development stopped immediately. As for what we know of this take on Halloween, we have this quote from Doug Bradley, who said Barker saw Michael Myers as, quote, "a sadomasochistic sexual pervert and serial killer, which would be enough to pique Pinhead's interest," unquote.
It's such a Clive Barker thing to say.
Yeah. See, and in my head canon, there's no situation in which Michael Myers fucks. So it's like,
yeah,
nah.
I mean, I don't know. Phil might disagree since he calls him Michael Daddy Myers.
Yeah. I mean, do you guys remember...
Does Michael Myers fuck?
I mean, he totally committed incest in the Curse of Michael Myers. So that was...
Oh, shit, you're right.
Remember?
Yeah.
Remember the weird plot where he was just like... hey, dude, your niece is actually your fucking
daughter. To me, I actually think of that as like one of those artificial, like he's like a bull.
Yeah.
Like they artificially inset, yeah, like pretty pull much out his sperm, and they're, yeah, like, okay, get the baster.
Oh, no, not the turkey baster.
Like how we're figuring out how Michael Myers can impregnate anyone.
Yeah, that's such a weird...
I love that that's your thought. Then he and then freaking Phil's over here. He's just like, no, he fucks.
Yeah,
he
daddy fucks.
Yeah, he fucks, dude. For sure, he fucks, dude.
Well, it's a tale, or it's a debate for the ages.
Yeah,
you'll never know.
He's a mean guy, but he's a gentle fuck, you know.
he put on sheets, honey. He gets theatrical, you know. He put a sheet over just to make it, you know, more interesting.
The violin version,
yeah,
of his theme song. Just,
yeah, see.
You both deeply upset me.
Oh, Jesus.
Before Akkad's death, he was pitched several ideas, which we'll spill out right now. Halloween Retribution with Josh Hartnett based... I'm sorry, the Josh Hartnett based sequel that killed off Busta Rhymes in the first scene, as discussed in our previous episode on Halloween Resurrection.
Yeah, let's dig on that take right there.
Yeah. Yikes. filmmaker Josh Stolberg received two meetings with Akkad, where he took one more pass on at the Halloween concept with the hilariously titled MVP. Michael Myers versus Pinhead. He described it as a battle royale before being given a piece of paper with the rules of the Halloween universe and a pat on the back from Akkad, telling him to try again. And try again he did, with the return of Jamie Lloyd in a movie taking place between Halloween H2O and Resurrection called Halloween Bad Blood.
Oh, this one's so bad. Just keep... This is fun. This is fun.
Danielle Harris was set to return as an adult Jamie Lloyd, who had been dodging her uncle for years, using body doubles and having a supply of blood handy should she get sent to the hospital again, which she totally does after Michael interrupts her meeting for victims of domestic violence, killing all the victims of domestic violence before the duo gets hit by a speeding ambulance. Yes, this is real.
Yeah, this is real. This is
that
real,
is
guys.
In such poor taste.
Yeah.
Holy God. Fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, while recovering in the hospital, a nurse accidentally puts Jamie's blood supply in the general hospital storage blood supply, allowing the Myers bloodline to be spread to 7 patrons who go through a very fateful blood transfusion. Ooh, what the fuck?
Yeah, God. Yeah, keep reading, Alex.
Each character is killed off one by one, culminating in an ultimate battle between Jamie and Michael Myers, which was... more action movie than slasher.
Mm-hmm.
Despite getting further along in development than most, Dimension did eventually turn Stolberg's ass down. Thank Christ.
Yeah, and his quote on the thing is hilarious.
So, on this experience, Stolberg says, quote, "There was no way they were going to hire the writer of Sabrina, the animated series, to reinvent Halloween."
Just
additional
detail. So the area in which they fight is actually a lair that Michael Myers has, where he has all the old weapons that he used in every film. And so he's
using as
many weapons as he can while trying to get a very almost ninja-like Jamie Lloyd.
What the hell?
Yeah.
That is so dumb.
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
I personally like the... her keeping a constant supply of her own blood just in case, and then it being mixed into the hospital blood supply, like it's like a vat.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that was the thing too, because all the victims from the domestic violence thing, like that Myers killed, like I guess the hospital was in such chaos, like she literally just misplaced the blood and put it in a container it wasn't supposed to be in.
That is so dumb.
Yeah. And I guess 7 people got transfusions that night, so, you know, because that's how hospitals work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Out of all these, like, possible sequels that never got the green light, I think I would have just gone to the Halloween Retribution, bring back Josh Hartnett, and I think the sheriff...
Oh, Phil, you actually, in your section, have even more.
Oh, God, are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
There's more.
Well, wait, there's more.
There's more,
oh,
Phil.
Oh, God, all
there's
right.
more.
Well, let's get to it, then. Well... believe it or not, there were 2 more attempts to adhere to the original storyline, and both weren't nearly as high concept as the ones we just mentioned. Halloween Asylum was basically a standard slasher where Michael escaped Earth Row.
Oh, Death Row. My bad.
Death Row. Death Row.
Earth Row. I was going to say, what the fuck is Earth Row?
Yeah, I told you, man. I'm like Ron Burgundy.
You are.
I read everything that's on the script. Let me just start back. Halloween Asylum was basically a standard slasher where Michael escaped death row and does his shape thing to a bunch of people in a prison. Apparently, Busta Rhymes' character might have been in this one.
I don't know why. I don't know why.
Trick, motherfucker. Last attempt was Halloween, The Missing Years. I think I've actually heard of this. Mm-hmm. Which was a prequel set during the time of Season of the Witch, where Myers goes to Smith's Grove and has a series of flashbacks about his time in the institution being observed by Dr. Loomis. This one was mostly paused because it was considered, well, boring.
Boo.
But the utilizing flashbacks was something the team was very interested in.
Interesting. Okay.
Also, isn't Season of the Witch like canonically outside of the Halloween universe because they watch Halloween in the movie?
Yeah,
but that's with you trying to make sense of this whole thing. Yeah.
Whatever.
This is.
Yeah.
How dare I?
They had just finished Halloween Resurrection, Alex. Yeah. They don't care.
To me, the Halloween franchise is kind of timeline is kind of complicated, just as the Terminator franchise timeline is complicated.
But without time travel.
Yeah.
But without time travel.
Somehow without time travel.
Oh my God. Exactly.
So of these attempts, Phil, which are you the ones you're like, you know what? So Josh Hartnett.
So yeah, I guess I'm kind of feeling the Josh Hartnett retribution. It sounds simple, straight to the point. Get Robert Rodriguez behind it, you could have gotten something there.
I think that's probably the most polished one they could have gotten for sure.
It's kind of like the safe bet.
Mm-hmm.
I was digging the blood transfusion part to make things a little interesting. I kind of dig that. But when you just made Resurrection, you can't be rolling dice that hard.
You gotta
go back to playing it on a little safe.
What if we add more kung fu? But this time Jamie Lloyd is the one doing kung fu. How about that'd be good.
All right. So
Halloween the Missing Year sounds like the Wonder Years Michael Myers is a Smith's Grove just reminiscing about stabbing the fuck out of people.
That's good. Oh, man. Good times. All right, let's get back to this. With the recent death of series shepherd Mustafa Akkad and no real direction on where to take the Myers storyline thanks to some convoluted lore, Malek Akkad, who took over as the lead producer of the Halloween franchise, chose to scrap everything and just start over.
Hey, there you go.
Thankfully, around this time, Rob Zombie was proving himself in music and film, gaining acclaim from his early work with House of a Thousand Corpses and The Devil's Rejects. As we've stated many times, torture porn was in, baby. Mm-hmm. It was in.
Oh, yeah.
Though Zombie's brand of hellbilly horror distinguished his style from the rest. Bob Weinstein made the call and managed to get Zombie on board.
Okay, the torture porn was in makes me think of the What We Do in the Shadows. Gay is in. Gay is hot.
We need to be gay. No, trust me. Gay is in. Gay is hot. I want some gay.
Gay is gonna be. Torture porn is in. Torture porn is hot. I want some torture porn. Torture porn is gonna be.
Oh, that's
so good.
That's good. I like that.
Man. We got to talk about Halloween weekend, by the way, after we're done.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Yeah, we do.
All right, so, thankfully... Oh, no, I already read that part. Yeah. Hey, Zombie was frustrated that characters like Jason, Freddy, and Pinhead were becoming more familiar with audiences and much less frightening. So he sought to reinvent Michael Myers and bring terror back into the hearts of movie patrons.
Interesting.
That's very interesting. He's
mm-hmm. I like that he wanted to make Michael Myers scarier.
I mean, Busta Rhymes.
Well, no. Because, what he did in the movie,
mm-hmm.
I think made him less scary to me.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe the backstory stuff did, but also Tyler Mayne was kind of...
Oh, yeah.
He's
menacing.
I mean, Tyler Mayne brought it.
He's 6'9", and you don't see his face.
That's my second favorite Myers. Honestly, I think I've mentioned that on this podcast before, that Tyler Mayne's my second favorite Myers.
We're going to go tier list later on. So
So fans were a little confused and divided. So Zombie had to clarify to fans that it was not Halloween 9. But a whole new take on the character.
And this is our, one of our first, from the beginning retcons, because we've had three!
Yes, that's so strange.
I do remember this conversation on like comingsoon.net too, because people are like, he's gonna do Halloween 9? Like, what the fuck? Like, how are they gonna get like for Busta Rhymes? Mm-hmm. Busta Rhymes jokes were everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then he dropped like, no, we're remaking it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
This was around the time where I really started getting into like movie news and stuff like that, like comingsoon.net, we've mentioned before. Like, yeah, I was always on that website all the time, and I was hearing a lot about this, and I was pretty excited.
I was excited too, because I liked the Texas Chainsaw remake. So
and
like,
I really liked Devil's Rejects. I really liked Devil's Rejects. I remember seeing that in theaters.
I love Devil's Rejects.
Yeah, and I was like, oh shit, okay, cool. Let's do it.
Still haven't covered it.
Yeah. Zombie felt obliged to reach out to the John Carpenter
to John Carpenter.
I'm Ron Burgundy. And let him know that he was remaking his popular work. Carpenter told him, and to quote, "Make it your own," end quote. In a very debated conversation, Zombie initially took the statement as quite cold and indifferent, mostly because at this point, Carpenter didn't care much about Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Carpenter felt he was being encouraging, though stayed tight-lipped on the finishing product for a long while. More on that later.
Yeah, it gets still, pretty controversial. Yeah.
Still, despite a rocky start, Zombie was ready to remake Halloween.
Yeah.
Let me just say something.
Honestly, I would say that was... No, seeing the interviews that John Carpenter has done, I would if he told me to make something my own, I would find that very encouraging.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
Just because he's kind of like he just kind of has that vibe about him where he's just kind of like
kind of tells like it is.
Dude, you got a film director, a filmmaker telling another filmmaker make it your own. That's like some encouraging shit.
Well, especially also when the one who says it is the one who made the franchise that you're trying to recreate.
You know, it's funny about John Carpenter. Recently, I came across a clip. I think he was at some kind of like panel or something, and somebody asked him about Halloween or something like that, and he said this. He's like, you know, the very beautiful thing about Halloween. Whenever people tell me they're going to make more Halloween movies, something interesting happens. I literally just put my hand out there and a check just lands right on it. And I was like, that's a John
baller.
Carpenter.
Yeah. That is so baller.
The man does not give a fuck anymore.
No,
that's the thing. It's like he wanted to take Halloween in a very specific direction, and just by circumstances and like production, like it that got taken away from him.
Exactly.
So he just kind of stopped giving a fuck, which frankly understandable.
Yeah.
So
he uses that money to fucking buy video games and support his band. He's living the fucking life.
Right.
Oh, he's hosting this thing for the Godzilla. He's having like a Godzilla marathon.
Oh shit!
The dude's a big Godzilla head, and I forgot the name. Is it a streaming service? Not Shudder, something else, right? Anyways, he's hosting like a big Godzilla night. Like he's gonna be watching all of them, but with an audience and stuff like that. I don't think it's in California.
Ah, boo.
Yeah, I think it's East Coast thing, but yeah, it's pretty cool.
Man.
That sounds.
But yeah. But anyways, yeah, so Zombie was ready to remake a Halloween.
All right, well, how do you do it? Let's fucking see. So, Zombie chose to focus on the backstory of Myers, providing more motivation for the character while keeping it ambiguous enough for audiences to kind of question his intent. And on this relationship with Laurie Strode, Zombie states, quote, "Was he trying to kill Laurie or just find her because he loves her?" End quote.
Interesting.
Maybe I don't know if you pulled that off, but anyway, Zombie ultimately felt having the character be so vague in their intentions was limiting, and felt fleshing out the backstory would be the best way to provide some context for the audience while getting to, once again, cast his wife, Sherry Moon Zombie.
Of course.
Yeah, double winner.
Also, I just want to make fun of Phil for a moment. He brought notes.
I sure did.
I love it.
Look at this. Halloween
good.
2007.
Good. Bad.
Oh, I love it. Oh, what a discussion's going to be.
I do want to point out the bad list is longer than
it's
the good.
It's longer.
It's definitely longer. Definitely
to that,
longer.
I say, fuck off.
So the filmmaker also finally brought Danielle Harris back to the franchise numerous episodes of us talking about how she almost got it and was kicked off again and again and again.
This
time.
That sucks. It being just like dangled in front
dangled
of her.
Dangled in front
after
of her
this
for years.
Franchise has just failed her.
Mm-hmm.
Basically.
She emancipated herself, goddamn it. Just oof.
And the character of Jamie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But of course now she got to play Annie in the remake. So there you go.
Yeah.
And she agreed to participate in the film because specifically the naked chase scene, which was unlike anything she had done in her career to that point.
And,
so,
you know, you'll hear no complaining from me about that.
No, no.
Whatsoever.
Former WCW wrestler Tyler Mate, Alex's glare.
No, that was just like disappointed dad.
By the way, Tyler Mane went in WCW, was known as Big Sky.
Yeah.
Was enlisted as the new Michael Myers and was also the most imposing version of the character at a height of 6'8".
Google said 6'9".
Oh, shit. Okay, well, okay. We'll give him 6'9" then. One of my sources said 6'8", but 6'9". Big boy Myers.
Big boy.
So, in further attempts to...
His website says 6'9".
Oh, his website says 6'9". We could always trust a wrestler to properly bill their height.
Hey, his full name is Daryl Carolat.
Okay.
Really?
Apparently so.
I mean, fucking Hulk Hogan is Terry Boyega.
Yeah, yeah.
And he is not 6'7".
Triple H's real name is Paul Levesque.
Paul Levesque. No,
who
that's
the
right.
fuck is Paul Levesque? You're Triple H, dude.
You're Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
You're Hunter Hearst
Helmsley. Oh, IMDb says 6'8". His website says 6'9".
He's 6'5". Gotcha.
He's
6'8
and a half, question mark?
So he's 8'2".
He's tall as fuck.
He's tall as fuck. Anyway, so in further attempts to distinguish his film from the source material, this version's Laurie Strode was going to be far different from the reserve take that made Jamie Lee Curtis the screenplay. Mm-hmm. And also have Michael and Dr. Loomis' storyline be far more intertwined than the original film. And of course, Laurie would be played by Scout Taylor Compton, and Loomis by the legendary Malcolm McDowell.
I was flabbergasted. I went into this knowing nothing about the movie.
Interesting.
Like, I knew very, very little. All I knew was Rob Zombie directed it, so I was expecting Rob Zombie, like, flair. Mm-hmm. And I was good to you, Michael!
Oh,
that's the only thing I knew about this movie.
Oh, that would have still.
Huh?
That one hurts still.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I knew. So going into this and then seeing Malcolm McDowell,
yeah,
I was like, the fuck?
Yeah.
How did, like,
dude,
Zombies cast, like, power in this is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Honestly, also, Malcolm McDowell is very different than Donald Pleasant, so it actually kind of works.
I think he's
actually the good things that I have on the list. Malcolm McDowell, Loomis.
God damn it.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, list is coming. The list.
Oh, yes.
The list.
You just made the list.
Malcolm McDowell, you just made the list. So most of the new material would be actually in the first half of the film, where the second was more like the original, actually, but with far, far more gore, seeing as it is a Rob Zombie film we are talking about here.
Yeah, this is a 2-hour movie, and you feel every fucking minute.
Oh my God, did you watch rated R or unrated?
I did not watch the director's cut.
Oh, okay, good. That one sucks. Anyways.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So I'll talk about it in discussion. But to keep the look and feel of the OG, however, Rob Zombie shot Halloween in the exact same neighborhoods as the original. South Pasadena, baby!
Woo!
Good Irish bar out there. Good Shepherd's Pie. And utilized a lot of the same music, actually, throughout, which he didn't intend to do, but when he started cutting the film, he was like, fuck.
You gotta get that classic score in there.
I'm slapping it in there. So additionally, upon seeing the very first production run of the new Mask, Zombie was fucking elated. Like, he lost it, saying, quote, "It looks perfect. Exactly like the original. Not since 1978 has the shape looked so good." Honestly, one of the best masks.
Yeah, I agree.
I actually agree.
Yeah.
Considering that we've gone through so many, like, at this point... at least 7 sequels of just shitty masks.
Oh my God. A CGI mask in H2O.
Yeah. Or fucking Chola Myers in Resurrection.
Yeah.
With the fucking eyebrows, man.
With the eyebrows.
Yeah.
And in Halloween 4, Return of Michael Myers, when he was blonde and, like, he looked pink.
For like two seconds.
Yeah. I was like, what the fuck was that?
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Anyways, yeah, this one, big step up.
Yeah, this one got me excited again for the franchise. Mm-hmm.
I also like the papier-mâché thing before he goes back and gets the OG mask.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I thought that was a cool I think it was a cool zombie making it his own.
Yeah. Definitely.
Like, little addition.
Absolutely.
God, that fucking bathroom dialogue, though. Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, just before the release of Halloween 07, an early work print version leaked online and on torrent sites everywhere, scaring the studio into thinking it'll negatively affect the box office as it did with Eli Roth's Hostel 2, supposedly.
Only
supposedly.
If it's a bad movie.
Mm-hmm. Still, of course, there was no going back now. And no Busta Rhymes to pin the blame on. So, Halloween was set to hit theaters in the summer of 07. Sometime after Transformers. Sometime, yeah. Because it's the 2000s we're talking about here, baby. Let's fucking go.
Linkin Park.
I know. Oh my god, and Halloween 07.
Halloween,
what she fucking shoots.
What? Wait, I need that edit.
Oh,
I need to make that edit.
Oh, my God. If Halloween's, it came out in 2007, which it did.
Dude,
2007 ruled. I remember there was, Transformers, I think I saw like 5 times.
I did too. I saw it a bunch.
I fucking loved
the first
Transformers.
One.
Yeah, Transformers was really cool.
07 was a good year, man.
Yeah.
That's prime
fandom
year. I think
we were already out of 1 year out of high school, right?
I was too, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me it was a year already out of
high school.
You were like, what, elementary?
Okay, fuck you. I was in middle school.
Okay.
I just got to middle school.
No, I've been in middle school for 2 years.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Middle school where I lived started in sixth grade.
Yeah, me too.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, mine was seventh.
Yeah, it was sixth, seventh, and eighth.
Seventh and eighth.
Where'd you go to elementary? Well,
Arizona. whatever.
Wait,
yeah.
No, Arizona's the name of that.
Oh, I was
school,
like, when
yeah.
did you live in Arizona?
Yeah. No, Arizona's the school. Yeah, I remember that school.
Oh, when we are not recording, I have a very funny story for you.
Okay, yes, perfect, perfect.
Don't let me forget. Okay, so this is Halloween?
I'm Ron Burgundy.
When critics finally got their grubby little hands on Halloween, they weren't exactly enthused.
No, they were not.
Like, at all. It was a pretty unforgiving 26% on Rotten Tomatoes, with a critical consensus saying, quote, Rob Zombie doesn't bring many new ideas to the table in Halloween, making it another bloody disappointment for fans of the franchise.
Jesus.
Unquote.
Mm.
I think that's harsh.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is very harsh.
I think it's harsh.
It is.
Yeah.
I think it's harsh.
There's been worse. There's been worse to this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Richard Harrington of the Washington Post was particularly nasty to the film, saying, quote, contains dialogue so nasty and stupid, you'd swear, right along with the characters, that the booker for Jerry Springer wrote it. Zombie did. Unquote.
I gotta agree.
It's just a zombie film.
I gotta agree. Zombie was a pretty good director, but his writing was pretty...
Yeah.
Lazy.
I will say, this is like the opposite end of the spectrum, because I think I've made this criticism before about how I don't think Tarantino knows how to write women dialogue, like women conversations well. I think this is the opposite end of the spectrum in the same thing, where it's like Zombie does not know how to write conversations between women.
No, yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
And it, that came up a couple times, but it was like very different...
I'm like, damn. To me, I was like, everybody wants to fuck or is mean.
Yeah. Everyone's incredibly horny or incredibly mean.
Yeah.
Well, dude, I mean, the scene when they're all walking from school, Lori and her two friends, they sound like the same fucking person.
Yeah, they do. There's no distinguishing in the characters.
Yeah,
of any of
they
them.
Sound
That's
like the same
point.
Fucking...
Like, and then it's also like, they're supposed to be best friends, but they're incredibly mean to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, they sound like the same character. And then it's also, it's written like a film, like, if that makes sense. It doesn't sound like a true conversation.
Yeah.
I forget the exact line of dialogue, but it's just like they play off each other, like it's like witty and like quirky, and it's not great. So I will agree that the dialogue isn't awesome, but I'm not watching a Rob Zombie film for the fucking dialogue.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of this stuff was like improvised. I'm sure when you were doing the research, Anthony, I'm sure a lot of it... I've actually heard this, that the script wasn't even fully finished yet when they were filming this.
I can't really remember, because there was actually like a documentary of 2 hours of behind the scenes on this, and
so
I
just
couldn't.
I feel like they just let them improvise a lot.
I think there was definitely some improvisations, but there was a bunch of other little weird stories too, actually. Mm-hmm. But it was like a lot.
Right.
Yeah, if you guys want to learn more about the actual behind the scenes of this, there's literally a 2-hour documentary on YouTube of just... But the thing is that I remember from the documentary is... They had fun making this movie.
Yeah,
like the cast had a lot of fun.
It looked like a blast.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm sure.
Zombie was stressed out. It was the hardest thing he'd ever done in his career.
Oh, I'm sure there's a lot of pressure there.
Yeah.
But going back to the dialogue. There was like a scene where Lori was like talking to her mom, and I was like, why is everyone so like weirdly horny around their parents?
She's like, ooh, like that little weird thing. I'm
like, 20-year-old me, didn't have a problem with that. But I look back at it now, I'm like, dude, who the fuck talks to their mom like that? Because I actually had a crush on Scout Taylor Compton at the time when the movie came out. And I was like, who are you? And when she was doing that in the kitchen, I was like, whoa. I was like, Vince McMahon. I was like, whoa.
Pretty lady with the glasses, huh?
I was like, who are you? Well, hello there, Laurie Strode. But, yeah.
No, I was watching that, and then also the Judith. In the, Judith Myers. Yeah, Judith Myers. And I'm just like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
It's all like, I'm like, this is weirdly incestual. All of it. It's very upsetting.
I will say, though, the parents felt like parents. That was good. Like, Laurie's parents.
Strode's? Oh, the Strode's.
The Strode's,
well, it was
yeah.
a contrast of the Myers' family.
Yeah, they were super, well,
The Myers were, like, trailer trash, you know? And,
exactly.
And the Strode's were, you know, more domesticated.
The Strode's were wholesome. Yeah. And, like, they were, like, an actual family. Yeah. And then, yeah, the Myers were are very trashy. But then also at the heart of it, it was very interesting that, like, they were like, we're going to make Sherry Moon Zombie be, like, a wholesome stripper who loves her family. But also at the same time, she's also going to be crazy Sherry Moon Zombie and start screaming and throwing shit. Like, I'm like, oh, God, I'm getting whiplash.
You know, on my list right here, I have a list of good and bad. Bad, I just wrote, quote, unquote, love hurts.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
the strip club.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll get
there. We're almost there. Oh, my Lord.
We'll get there. But anyway, moving on. So a lot of reviews read like that one, but let's see which reasonable minds actually liked it among professional critics. That would be Entertainment Weekly's own Owen Gleiberman.
Gleiberman! Ah, he's the worst.
Who gave it a B-, saying, quote, it's a decent diversion.
He's our anti-Ebert. Owen Gleiberman.
Just because it's really fun to go, Gleiberman! Yeah,
but he's very contrarian in his reviews.
Yeah. Despite the not-so-great critical feedback, Dimension Films decided it didn't give a shit it didn't give a shit what critics had to say, and Halloween was officially released on August 31st, 2007, to 3,472 theaters in North America. The widest release of any Halloween film to that point.
More than the Avengers.
Imagine. Jeez. Turns out audiences didn't give a shit about critics either, as it was kind of a huge hit.
Yeah. I was there opening night, so I will tell you guys that story in a little bit, but
absolutely. So its opening day beat the opening weekend of every Halloween film except H2O and Resurrection, although its four-day Labor Day opening weekend totaled $30,591,759. Shattering any Labor Day records before it and outgrossing every Halloween film except the original and H2O.
Yeah, their full box office runs in 4 days. It took over almost all of them.
That's crazy. Its Labor Day total trounced the previous winner, The Transporter 2, and held its record until 2021's Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings.
That's a long fucking record.
Dude, yeah, you're talking, what, 14 years?
Dude, yeah. That's insane, actually.
Also, I mean, Shang-Chi is an amazing movie,
that's
too.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one.
Really ruled.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, despite some steep drops, Halloween 2007 ended up becoming the highest grossing entry in the franchise up until 2008. 2008, the next year?
Yeah. Short record, you know?
Very short. Yeah. Until 2018's similarly titled Halloween, which grossed...
No, that's not...
Oh, I'm sorry. It grossed $80,249,467, nice. Making Dimension Films and possibly Owen Gleiberman very happy. A sequel was greenlit soon after.
Nice. 2007? I mean, I remember seeing it when it came out.
Yeah, opening night. Yeah.
I was stoked.
I was psyched,
20 or maybe 19 at the time. Yeah, very excited. Dude, I mean, the fact that I was already a fan of Rob Zombie's music and, you know, I liked House of a Thousand Corpses and Devil's Rejects. And I was like, dude, let's go fucking see it. I was just pissed. I was like, why didn't that not release this on October?
I know, that was a little
weird.
They
released it right in the middle of summer, but, you know, that was me. But, yeah. But anyways, that was before I saw the movie. All right, so Lampooned Legacy, as the title calls. 2007 audiences loved it. 2007 critics hated it. But how do viewers in 2002 look at it?
do, I think.
If how do viewers in 2022 look at it? If Letterboxd is anything to go by, then, well, mixed. Mixed? Something like that? Yeah, let's go with mixed.
Yeah, mixed works.
Okay, mixed. Halloween 2007 was a 2.7 out of 5 rating. Oof. Out of 11,000 reviews. Not a lot and not too enthusiastic, but here we are. Dirk H. kicks off the popular reviews section with just one star, saying, quote, "You know how sometimes hours after you had a very pleasant and delicious meal, you burp, and you can taste the faint aromas of that meal mixed with the unpleasantness of stomach gases? Yeah, you know what I'm getting at."
That's terrible.
That's a very specific analogy.
That's really specific.
That's me in Resurrection.
Yeah.
I don't know about 2007 Rob Zombie.
No, I think it's
less. But it's dangerously close.
Mm. Fuck you guys.
No. You know what?
Get out of my apartment.
This was Halloween's, if this was Rob Zombie's sequel to Halloween, then yes.
I think it would just be the stomach gases.
Yeah, I would go with that for sure. Okay, let's continue, shall we? Amaya is much more favorable with 4 stars, saying, quote, "Finally, a Halloween movie for people who drink beer and have sex."
That's a good one.
End quote. That's good. I like that. Cliff is even meaner than Dirk with a 0.5 star, saying, quote, "A stultifyingly?
What does that even mean?
How the hell do you say that word?
I'm Googling it because I hate it when people use, like, grossly. Okay, stultifyingly. In a way that makes you feel very bored and unable to think clearly. It means dull. It means dull. Just say dull, bro.
Yes. Just say dull, Cliff, you fuck. A dull, artless, one-note, dull.
It's redundant. It's a redundant fucking sentence. Fuck you,
dude,
Cliff.
Cliff, get off the Letterboxd, bro.
Stultifying? Fuck you. Cliff is listening to this, just like, okay.
Fuck the Horrible People's Podcast and fuck that dude, Phil.
I find his review stultifying, artless, one-note, dull, and overlong.
Thank you. Let's keep going, shall we? Yeah. Evan's perspective changed over the years, saying, quote, "When I saw this back in 2007, I nearly shit my pants while watching. 7 years later, I nearly fell asleep while rewatching." End quote.
It's a long movie.
Yes.
Like, it's really hard. I
kind of feel Evan's.
I feel like that's your review take right there.
Because 2007, I fucking loved it.
I'm with you.
Holy shit, it's just like the Chainsaw Massacre remake. They fucking did it. Hell yeah.
Not that you sound like.
Yeah, that's pretty much 2007 Phil.
Transformers,
yes.
Bro.
Fuck yeah. What up? Ding, 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 ding. They should put the Halloween piano. Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, there you go.
Dun, dun. All right, here we go. And finally, Silent J, my bad. Silent J is a little sarcastic in their 1.5-star review, saying, quote, "So that's why Michael Myers stopped talking. Because everybody kept calling him a whiny little bitch as a kid. Gee, thanks for remaking this, Rob Zombie. I totally need to know that." End quote.
I kind of agree with that.
Okay. Yes. Well, which is part of my notes here. We'll get there. Mm-hmm. And finally, PD187 says in their 4-star review, quote, "Most of this is dumb, but Michael Myers wrecking shit is scary." Yeah, that's simple. Yeah, it's to the point.
That's kind of like my review, actually.
Yeah. In his segment about Halloween 07 for the program Halloween, The Inside Story, Rob Zombie claimed that Carpenter was cold to him when he approached the filmmaker about this remake. John Carpenter wasn't having any of that shit. In an interview with The Garden.
The Guardian.
In an interview with
The Guardian. Home and Garden.
Those names Carpenter?
Carpenter emphasized that this was not cold in the slightest, saying, quote, "He lied about me. He said that I was very cold to him when he told me that he was going to make Halloween. Nothing could be further from the truth. Why that piece of shit lied, I don't know. He had no reason to. Why did he do it?"
I could see John Carpenter being...
Dude, John Carpenter...
You don't take no shit,
dude.
I think I know why he did it. I think he was trying to, like, stir up controversy so people who, like, were previously critical of Carpenter's stuff, mm-hmm. would be like, oh, if Carpenter is like critical of it, then it might be good. I should check this out. Mm-hmm. Or just basically trying to, being a shit disturber, because Rob Zombie like thrives off of being a shit disturber.
That makes sense. That makes
sense. I think he was just trying to stir up shit. That's why he did it, in my personal opinion.
I just think Carpenter's just laying his balls on the table, dude.
Yeah.
But he does that a lot.
Oh, yeah. Carpenter for sure. I'm talking about Zombie. Why
I personally think Zombie was a little too sensitive when he probably first, like, because I think Halloween's very important to him. Didn't get the exact response he wanted, he was
he probably wanted Carpenter to, like, fall on his knees and suck his dick.
Yeah, exactly. And then he was like, he didn't fucking blow me. And Carpenter's like, I'm not blowing fucking anybody, jackass. Yeah,
exactly. Anything, you should be blowing me.
Yes.
Dude, I mean, Carpenter, put yourself in Zombie shoes. You're fucking remaking Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, it's like a behemoth of a fucking franchise in the horror community. Not just in the horror community, just cinema in general. Dude, I actually remember 3 years ago, Rob Zombie was in an episode of the Joe Rogan podcast. I was not watching the whole entire podcast. I just saw the clip of it on YouTube. Mm-hmm.
That you had to add that caveat.
yeah, exactly. He was on the Joe Rogan podcast, and like Joe Rogan asked him, dude, so what the fuck? How was remaking Halloween? And he was like, dude, like the studio interference shit was so fucking crazy. I was depressed. Like the shit was like all like so much pressure.
He's stressed out.
I was stressing out because they would always call me every time about all the shit that's going on. He mentioned Superbad when Superbad came out. I was like, hey, we need to have that dialogue that Superbad had. Mm-hmm. Blah, 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 blah. I was like, or whenever some shit happened in a movie, they'd always call me and say, hey, we need to do that. We need, they would call me while I'm fucking working on my phone. And they were like, hey, we need to do what this movie just did. It, all in 2006, 2005, during pre-production and principal photography of the movie. Like, so I was like, dude, I kind of feel the studio interference part. I was like, yeah, let's give him, he brings the vision, he brings the creativity, but we got notes, dude.
Yeah.
You know? And I can only imagine, like, what that was like.
Well, that, but, coming from, like, Devil's Rejects and the other movies, like, he had way more freedom in those.
So I kind of show my sympathies a little bit to, I don't want to be too brutal on Rob Zombie, like a lot of critics have been.
Yes.
But, because I'm trying to put myself in his shoes, you know, to see what it was. But let's continue, shall we? Carpenter went to break his silence and criticize the film, finding the backstory elements and gigantic size of Michael completely unnecessary.
Disagree.
Yeah, he actually went pretty hard. I didn't include all of Carpenter's comments, but where Phil's nice, Carpenter was not nice.
Yeah.
He was not nice.
I agree. I don't think we needed the backstory. We'll get there. Well, especially the breakfast scene. Anyways, this feud was fueled via Twitter until Carpenter settled things in a tweet of his own. Carpenter tweeted, quote, to everyone fascinated with the JC/RZ, John Carpenter/Rob Zombie feud, old news. We spoke Sunday. We buried the hatchet. Let's move on. End quote. Or end tweet.
End tweet.
End tweet. God.
Zombie.
What an early 2000 thing.
Like, this is Twitter as fuck.
This Twitter feud. Like, ugh.
This is a Twitter thing for sure. It feels like 2009, 2008.
John Carpenter slams Rob Zombie's take on his best franchise.
Zombie was reportedly very overwhelmed with the whole shooting experience of the dimension of the Halloween remake, but it was the highest grossing entry in the franchise, and Dimension wanted more money, damn it. Now, and just like I mentioned, I mean, dude, the studio interference, like, clearly
was it weighed on him. Yeah. That's what I was reading, too, but I was like, that's a lot.
Yeah.
It seems a lot.
Oh, yeah.
He was stressed the fuck out.
Zombie would return to helm with his own take on a Halloween sequel, 2009's Halloween Deuce.
Deuce, correct.
Which we'll be covering in April. For now, let's see how Halloween in the era of torture porn played out. Discussion time!
Yeah, let's do it! Oh, man. Yeah. This is an interesting one.
Yeah, so much to bury, dive in here.
Bury. I'm actually interested most right now in Alex Webster's take on it, because this is your first time seeing
this.
Because me and Phil have a history with this movie.
Oh, this is your first time seeing it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I watched it this morning.
Oh, nice! Mm. So it's fresh in your fucking mind.
Yeah.
You literally just watched? Okay, cool.
I really liked it.
Okay.
I thought it was fun. Like, I didn't have, like, amazing expectations going into it.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of had a feeling, like, it's Rob Zombie. I was expecting something, like, I expected his fingerprints to be all over it, right? Like, I was expecting the trashy dialogue. I was expecting it to feel grimy. And it was. So that didn't necessarily surprise me. But also, I also want to point out, I don't have like a super nostalgic like attachment to Halloween as a franchise. Mm-hmm. So that might have made it a little bit easier for me to be like, okay, this is an interesting repurposing of the lore.
Yes, that makes sense.
And so I wasn't like super, super attached. I liked, and I had this thought as I was watching it, that it gave Michael Myers a backstory, but at the same time, one of the things that I thought the original was so scary was that we didn't know anything about him.
Mm-hmm.
And that it was just like, he was just a guy, or in this case, a child who like killed a sister, and like this is all we know.
Yeah.
In this one, it was like, we're gonna break down exactly why he went nutso, and yeah, like, you know.
Yeah.
And then versus like how later in the franchise, how it's like, oh, he's possessed by a demon.
Yeah.
Fucking right.
Thorn. Any attempt to try to explain Michael Myers is
but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I liked it, but also at the same time, I think I was a little bit like, because that's mm-hmm. part of the reasons that I love the original.
Yeah.
Because it was just like, he was just a guy. And then in the second one, they're like, oh no, that's his sister.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's there's a lot of all over the place in the franchise, which, you know, is kind of the nature of the right. beast in this case. But overall, I really enjoyed myself. I thought it was just like a fun, blood-soaked reimagining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. a good way of putting it, too.
Yeah.
Let's say, I actually want to get to this list, but because I want to do, like, I want you to go through each
right,
one.
Right.
Well, real quick, let me interject there real quick.
Oh, please.
I am the opposite of Webster, obviously. I've loved Halloween since I known movies.
Right.
And I remember, like we were saying earlier, being psyched about this mm-hmm. fucking movie. I went opening night, it was like nighttime, and I don't know what it was, my crowd was fucking fire. Like, these people were,
you
like...
You had good luck with,
movie crowds.
With movie
crowds,
yeah.
No, this crowd was like, we just got back from the bar, it's nighttime, it's summer, fuck it, we are turned, smell like fucking weed in there.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It was, and it was packed, like, sold out completely.
Mm.
This movie scared the shit out of everybody.
Yeah.
It was like, people were just hollering, tossing fucking popcorn, and I was, like, freaking out. Like, I thought, like, Tyler Mayne scared the shit out of me as Michael Myers in this time, and I was a little lit too. But it was like, it was such a good, it was one of my favorite horror movie screenings I've ever been to, was Rob Zombie's 07 opening night Halloween.
Yeah.
And the issue that comes with that is, like, no other version of me watching this has ever matched that energy. So every time I watch it now, it's like missing something.
Mm.
But So, I tested this while rewatching it recently. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna watch Rob Zombie. I'm watching the director's cut, which is fucking horrible. Don't watch it. It's long, has an unnecessary rape scene in there.
Yeah.
It's
like, oh, yeah, I remember that.
It's
yeah.
fucking, like, dumb. The theatrical cut's actually still really good. But then I watched OG Halloween,
mm-hmm.
and I compared it. I'm like, fuck, you just can't beat simple.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, exactly. it's just simple. There's nothing wrong with just how the mythology is just laid out, like, easy, and it's
mm-hmm.
a cool, like, just around an hour and a half, 2 hours. Like, it's not bad.
And I think that's where the difference in, like, thought process when I was watching it, because I
mm-hmm.
know, like, they're, like, different movies.
They're completely different, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And when I was watching this, I in no way was expecting it to be anywhere near,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, the original Halloween. In
yeah.
no way. Because it's simple, it's beautiful, and it's fucking menacing.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And then this, I was expecting, like, a blood-soaked, like, terror experience.
Yeah, which we got. Which
yeah.
we got.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
yeah, and definitely, I think, but what I noticed, though, is over the years, I've watched this movie a bunch. Well, not a bunch, but, like, you know, every
now and again.
So every
right.
now and again. But my family, whenever, because my family, they just slap up horror
mm-hmm.
movies, whatever's on. Whenever this one's on TV, they love Rob Zombie's 07 Halloween. They
yeah.
fucking love it. Like, my nephews love
Dude,
it. Like, everybody
like
fucking loves it. Yeah.
Bro, my parents, so funny. I think our parents will, like, have dinner sometime.
I know.
My parents are the same.
No, Danny Trejo. The second
yeah.
Danny Trejo's in a
Oh, yeah. No, every Mexican
what?
Is just like, oh.
Like, we got one. We got one in the movies.
Go
yeah.
buy Trejo.
No, okay. I do want to mention something really, really sweet.
Yeah.
In last week's episode for Sleepy Hollow, you mentioned where it's like anytime Sleepy Hollow is on TV, your entire family stops what they're doing if it's on and will sit down and watch wherever it picks up at.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
your mom said the same exact thing on our Facebook.
She did? Yeah, she totally did.
She said the same exact thing. And it was like, I was like, that is so funny. It was really sweet.
I can't emphasize enough how much my family loves horror and how much whenever scary movies are on, because they still have DirecTV. Like, whatever's on TV, they slap on.
Yeah.
But if they're like, oh shit, okay, cool, yeah, we're going to watch, like, oh, this is the one with the backstory. Like, when they talk about this one.
Right.
And, like, the kids will watch it, too. I'm like, this is generations of Fuentes.
That's so
just
funny.
Just sitting down on the couch.
So cool. It was just really, really sweet. Because, like, he verbatim what he said, his mom said on Facebook. I was like, wow, okay.
Shout out to Fuentes.
Right? Hi, Linda. Awesome.
Big old Tim Burton fan since before I was fucking born.
That's awesome. That's cool.
Oh, but Phil, I want to break down this fucking list, man. What's going on here?
Yeah, let's just talk about the list.
I also have, you know, a nostalgia factor. Actually, me and my dad went to go see it, and I think my brother, too.
Mm-hmm.
The minute Tyler Mane stood up, like, fully grown Myers, and, like, I think Danny Trejo's like, all right, Mikey, get up, let's go. And then he's gets up, and he fucking goes passing the frame of the camera.
Yeah.
And then I just remember my dad going, God damn, that's a big motherfucker. Dude, my dad, I distinctly remember this. Me and my dad and my brother went to go see it. My mom didn't want to go see it. She was scared. She was like, no. Yeah, so those three boys, we went. And, we liked it. I remember my brother saying that he liked a lot because you know more about Michael Myers.
Mm-hmm.
Explains how he ended up being the thing. And I thought that was cool too at the time.
Yeah.
You know, at the time I wasn't the film snob that I am now. It was cool. The nostalgia was there. I also had a really cool crowd. It was the same summer of Transformers. And, you know, Summer of 07 was just a cool year for movies.
Summer of 07, I just went to the movies more than, like, any other time in my life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think so, man. It was a big time. Big time. But now, that was 2007.
Yeah.
I watched it recently to do research for this episode.
We had some bangers in 07.
What else came out in 07?
Trick or Treat.
Trick or Treat came
Dead
out.
Dead Silence.
Dead Silence, yeah, I remember that.
Let's see. The Bratz movie.
The Bratz movie.
Sweeney Todd came out.
Yeah,
Sweeney Todd.
Yeah,
I remember Sweeney Todd came out. Yeah, that's true.
Let's see, what else? Wreck.
I Am Legend.
I Am Legend.
Oh, number 23.
Oh, with Jim Carrey and Joel Schumacher, yeah.
Y'all.
I remember that one. I remember seeing that. They played She Wants Revenge during the part of when Jim Carrey is, like, going out into the city. I wanna fucking tear
wait,
you
wait,
apart.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
That's, oh, wow. Oh,
number 23?
Yeah. That's, I've never seen it. Yeah. I just, that's really.
That's some Schumacher shit right there.
Yeah.
They fucking played She Wants Revenge?
Yeah, and Jim Carrey's, like, walking down the street with this badass coat, like, down the street. He's like.
Oh, wow.
So, as I mentioned, look, that was 2007. Really cool. At the time, I loved it. I was like, holy fuck, Rob Zombie did it, right?
Yeah.
Fuck yes! Because I remember being, 14 when Halloween Resurrection came out with Buster Rhymes, and I was like, what the fuck?
And your
was
soul
that,
got hurt.
Right?
Yeah, my
soul was destroyed, man.
Mm-hmm.
So we came back, and I was like, hey, we got a good one. Finally.
Finally.
So, but that was then.
Mm-hmm.
So in preparation for this episode, I watched it a couple nights ago. I wrote some notes down.
Let's see it.
All right, so I wrote a section of good and a section of bad on this little notepad of mine. A good. I wrote down Malcolm McDonald's Loomis.
Yeah,
Dr.
Great.
Loomis.
Great
yeah.
Loomis.
Yeah, he was good. You can see the compassion in him that he had for Michael Myers. There's even a scene where he's holding little Michael Myers and he's hugging him and stuff like that. And the part where he's like, he's almost in tears, like, Michael, like, when he's about to kill Laurie Strode.
Yeah.
The delivery was good.
Like,
in
I failed
sequel,
you, Michael.
He was a completely different
Loomis.
Oh my
god, Loomis. Don't even. Dude, they bastardized that fucking character so bad.
Yeah, totally destroyed Loomis in the sequel. The Halloween sequel. And the Halloween 2 Rob Zombie sequel. Totally destroyed. This movie, he was good.
Okay,
I like this
movie. Yeah. I like the difference between the two.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very
good. In the original one, it's obvious that Loomis is like, no, he is the devil and we have to kill him. And then in this one, it's just like, I don't want to kill my best friend.
Exactly.
But I would have liked Malcolm McDowell to be like, hey, Lonnie, move your
ass. That would have been awesome. That would have been so cool. Apparently, I don't know if this is true, but apparently Malcolm McDowell never had seen the original and didn't want to either in preparation for the movie.
He did not watch it in preparation.
After.
Yeah.
He watched it after the movie came out.
I think that's very smart.
Yeah.
Smart.
Which is cool. Also, another good thing. I think we already talked about Tyler Mane. He was
Tyler
great.
Fantastic.
The Mask was great too.
Best mask, dude. That was fantastic.
I wrote the frozen scene after the murder. Okay, so after he killed Judith Myers and everybody, there's a scene where Sherry Moon Zombie's freaking out, like, oh my god, my baby, blah, 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 blah. The cops are holding her down. there's a scene where there's like a tracking shot and everyone is frozen. Mm-hmm. Everyone just stops right where they're at and the camera just moves. Everyone is frozen. Sherry Moon Zombie, the cops, reporters, everyone is frozen. You go into Michael Myers sitting in the car, a little 9-year-old Michael Myers. He's the only one who's still moving. Mm-hmm. I actually thought, as for the lack of creativity that there is in this movie, that was probably the most creative thing I've seen in this movie.
It Ross, I'm just going to shoot a film.
And I was like, dude. I was like, dude, I mean, that's the bad part, too. The lack of creativity, dude.
Yeah.
This movie was so dull and boring, and you're just kind of almost doing a shot-for-shot remake. Except this time, you got shaky cam. Hey, there's a shaky cam going on.
It's the opposite of the steady cam.
Yes, exactly. Okay, now we're in the bad. The breakfast scene, the very beginning. Holy fuck, dude, it's hard to get through that scene with the dad, the hillbilly dad, the fucking dialogue. It's just so bad, and that shit's just, I don't know, I watched it again, I'm like, fuck.
It's like...
That baby's crying all the fucking time. Yeah,
it's like a House of a Thousand Corpses, like... deleted scene.
Yeah. It felt like that.
It's very off-putting.
That's a good way to do it.
That's what it felt like to me, and I was like, that's kind of, in the beginning, I was like, I hope this isn't what the whole movie is, but then I realized that, like, oh, this is Michael Myers' family,
right.
So it surely is not going to be the entire movie.
Exactly.
But also, like, this is rough, because then you also get Judith, and, like, and then this step-dad, creepy stepdad being thing, like, you have a sexy kid, and it's just like,
gross as fuck. I also wrote here, how Zombie just pretty much rushed the third act. Literally, like, I felt like Zombie was running out of time. Like, oh, fuck, I gotta get to the shit where shit goes down.
Yeah.
And there's a part where, like, he's snatching, where Michael Myers is trying to grab Laurie Strode, and the very next shot, she's passed out and just carrying her, like, and I'm like, weren't you just, like, struggling and fighting for your life, like, half a second ago?
Now you're knocked the fuck out.
Yeah, I was like, oh, we gotta go to the Myers house, because, you know, like...
Phil got up to demonstrate.
Yeah.
That's why he sounded
far away. Hear him trailing away.
And this fucking moment! I also wrote down, love hurts.
Yeah.
For no reason, stripper scene.
The montage. All right, so that what's it called? Red Jack Rabbit. The light. So in the original Halloween, Dr. Loomis finds a matchbox, and it said I forgot the name of the bar, but that's the bar where Sherry Moon Zombie was dancing. I was like, dude, why, we don't need to see all this.
Yeah,
and I know it's really cringe. Whenever I watch Revisit Halloween 07, it's really rare, I fast forward most of the stuff until, like, the third act. Or at least until the middle of the movie or something like that, because... The first act is kind of...
It lingers. Because I think also Rob Zombie loves directing his wife. Yeah. So they're like, let's see how long we can pull this out for.
It's like, oh, fuck, we're running out of time. Let's get the third act going. Okay.
I also think that it kind of did Michael a disservice in the just making him every other serial killer who silently resents his mother.
Mm-hmm.
Which...
I heard that Rob Zombie hates Jason Voorhees, but why did he make Jason Voorhees?
I think that is truly, like, an unfortunate thing, because, like, the whole premise of the original was that the sister was the one... who was, like, the brunt of, like, his aggression, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in this, it was setting it up that it's just like, oh, no, he just has mommy issues to the nth degree.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I blame this all on Junie from Spy Kids.
Okay, dude!
That's him, huh?
Yes! But I was just like, it's Junie! This is awful!
That's totally
Junie being an even bigger piece of shit.
No, in Spy Kids, he's just a little bitch.
Yeah.
He's not even... Yeah.
While he's fucking bullying goddamn Michael Myers Targaryen with his fucking hair.
I wrote down, too, Michael's first kill is when he kills him in the forest. I was like, you just kind of whacked him a couple times with the tree or the tree branch. And
I gotta say, though, seeing
it
in theaters...
It cuts, and then you just hear, like, whack, whack. Yeah,
seeing that in theaters got gasps, though.
Yeah.
People were like... Sure.
Yeah, I think I remember that.
I think they knew it was Junie, though.
Probably. Last thing that I wrote on the bad thing. One thing that's just a big gripe, and I think we've already kind of touched up on this a little bit... How it's just boring and obvious, a surface level take on Michael Myers, and how Myers is supposed to be evil incarnate. Here, he's just another serial killer who was raised in the very obvious environment. Mm-hmm. You know, in the original, he lived in like in a suburban neighborhood. His parents wore a suit and tie and a nice dress. Mm-hmm. And like, he's just fucking killed, you know, for... You know, he didn't have a motive.
It don't make no sense.
You know, Myers never needed... Myers never needed a motive. Here, he clearly does. You know, like, he's a society just... It's kind of like... As much as I love the Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie, we don't really need it. You know? Yeah. Like, and it's just kind of like this. Like, it reminds me a lot of Joaquin Phoenix's Joker movie. And as much as I love that fucking movie, too, like, that's cool. But it's just like, okay, we get it, dude. It's society. It's,
We live in a society. Yeah,
we live in a society.
Cool lore, bro.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's pretty much like, look, it's a cool movie. But I really wish Zombie would have, like how Carpenter said, make it your own. I think he wasn't, maybe because it was studio interference.
Yeah.
But there was a lot that, and but then when he did make it his own,
that's
he
made exactly
it
what I was going to get at.
But when he did make it his own, he did make it weird, especially the rape scene in the cut, in the director's cut,
which is fucking
where
horrible.
I was like, dude,
who?
Just a random patient.
So the reason, all right, so in the theatrical cut, Michael escapes just by breaking the chains and killing those cops, right?
Yeah.
In the director's cut, he's alone, minding his own business in his room. Two hospital staff members bring in a female patient in.
Like a new patient.
Yeah, a new patient, and she's kind of like just not Looping? All... Yeah. And so they start like... They... Like, it's gross. They start going to town at her.
They're like, you want some of this, Michael?
And then
like,
Michael literally just gets up, kills them, and he sees the doors open, and he just walks out of the hospital.
Yeah.
Dude, it's even worse in the Halloween sequel, Rob Zombie sequel, how the ambulance that's carrying Michael Myers runs over a cow, and that's the open door. Dude, in the other movies, like, Michael Myers had a fight to get out. That's why the theatrical cut's escape is a lot better than the director's cut escape.
The theatrical's just way better.
Yeah. The theatrical one, also, that's where Bill Moseley is.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And so like, but like I said, when like if you're going to double down on the zombiness... Then you might as fucking well, dude. But, you know, so, I don't know. That's my biggest gripe. I think it's Rob Zombie, but I understand it's not just Rob Zombie. There's a whole team of cluster shit.
Cluster shit going on.
It's not just Rob Zombie, but a lot of it is, though. He is the fucking director of this. He is the creative. He makes the creative choices here. So, yeah.
I don't know. It's, again, it's to me, it's I think it's a mixed bag of a movie. I appreciate some aspects of it, but also there are parts where I'm like, I don't like this. Like it's a very much a you can skip scenes movie.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that's for sure.
100%.
Now, this is a fun one, but
yeah,
where does this remake actually rank amongst the Halloween films that we've covered so far?
I think it's somewhere in the middle. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to bring it down there to like with Resurrection and Zombies Halloween 2 is.
Oh, we haven't covered 2 yet. So what we've covered so far.
Yeah. Oh, what we've covered so far. Okay. I would say it's below H2O, above Resurrection. We have covered 4 and 5, the Thorn trilogy. Oh, man. Alex, you're going to hate what I'm about to say right now. But it's below the Thorn trilogy.
Yeah.
Oh, when you guys watch Smile, please let me know, okay?
Okay.
I just want to send you a text, and I just want to say, when you watch Smile, think of Halloween 5.
Okay. All right. I'm keeping that in mind. Okay.
For a specific, for like, just let me know. Text me so I can remind you. Like, hey, just think of Halloween 5, the clown shoes music in Halloween 5.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Think of that before you go see Smile. No spoilers here at all.
Gotcha.
Super out of context.
Oh, what about you, Alex? Where do you think it ranks in the pile that we've covered so far?
Honestly, oh god. Okay, 1, 3. Surprisingly, okay, 1, 3, 4.
Oh, 4 above H2O. All right.
Interesting.
I liked 4. Now that I'm.
4 is my favorite sequel of all time.
Interesting.
Even passing David Gordon Green's sequels.
Interesting.
Well, we haven't covered that yet.
Yeah, we haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, 1, 3, 4, this. 2, 5, 6. Oh, wait, H2O needs to be somewhere between 3 and this. Yeah, but yeah, H2O is between three and this.
Okay.
Yeah, and then the rest.
Okay, okay, interesting, okay. Interesting.
Okay.
I would say Lois is still Halloween 6 for me. I don't... Oh, wait, no, Resurrection. Resurrection lowest.
Yeah,
Resurrection lowest. I was about to say.
Resurrection lowest, 6, a little above that one. I would also put... Fuck, see?
I was re-listening to some to our Thorn trilogy episodes because one of my friends really enjoys the Thorn trilogy, and I was just like...
Nice. Like, who's your
that
friend?
That person's got taste.
Who's your friend? Let's give them a shout out. Let's give them a shout out. Shout out to Alex's friend who likes the Thorn trilogy.
Hi, Danny.
Danny, I see you're a person of culture.
I fucking hate you.
What were your observations in the re-listen?
Oh, just like we were talking so much shit, and then in the sixth episode, which was like I think one of the first episodes you were on for a Halloween, and then you were just like, I just need to defend 4 and 5 because you guys talk so much shit, and we're just like, fuck you.
Yes. To all my Thorn trilogy fans out there, you are not alone. I am here, and I will defend you.
You know what? With
God
that,
damn it, Phil.
With that. It's actually the entire Thorn trilogy, so it's
I know, I want to change my answer.
4, then 5. It actually, over the years, starts to like 5 more than 4 because of how stupid 5 is. Mm. But then I would say Halloween, this one is right smack dab in the middle. Because then I think 2 is better than this. H2O 3
OG definitely
better. I feel
like I have to make
like
a visual, like we have to make like an actual like.
We have to bring out a whiteboard.
I know, like I've been actually thinking about getting one, but that would.
We need to print out little magnets of each movie title, of each every movie poster.
Like franchises? Yeah.
Oh, this one to me, smack dab in the middle. Right down in the center. Because I know fair. I like 2, I like
so
3, H2O more.
You like 2 more?
Than this one? Yeah.
Yeah, I just.
Oh, okay, if you listen to our Halloween 2 episode, I hated it.
Yeah, I remember. But you were a different person back then. Maybe give another watch.
Was it the Jamie Lee Curtis wig that she wore the whole time?
I just thought it was dumb, and and I didn't like that. I don't know. I didn't like the writing, and I thought it was kind of obvious that that Carpenter was just like kind of over it.
Yeah.
But then also something about the first half hour of 2 is like just it's such a good like right after Halloween 1 it feels like a continuation.
Okay,
I don't know, but
I'll re-listen to the episode and then I'll re-watch it and then I'll let you know if my thoughts have changed. I don't know, but like from just what I remember, I just remember watching it and just being like, oh, I get it.
I kind of feel like I want to watch Halloween 2 today now. Like, I'm kind of in there. So okay, cool. Yeah, rankings, we got those down.
I'm
so
watching the new Hellraiser later, I think.
Oh, yeah. I still need to see it.
New one?
Yeah.
I still need to see it also, actually. Maybe sometime this week. But this is actually a question I really want to hear your guys' takes on. Because Michael Myers, well, he's always been a culturally important horror figure, but the internet has taken it to the next level this year in particular, with tons of memes, fan art, TikToks, dancing versions of the shape, crossovers, all kinds of shit, actually. I mean, this has happened over the course of as the internet has grown, obviously. Yeah. But how would you assess the state of Mr. Myers in 2022 and his status overall in just Americana, in the American zeitgeist?
Like, would you like to kick this one off?
Jeez, damn, I was not prepared for this.
I mean, if you want, I can start.
Yeah, go ahead, because okay. I caught me hard at this
point. I was just curious, because I feel like I've been talking a lot, so.
No,
this is a podcast. I know, but still.
Let me think of this. Yeah.
So, for me, as a weird, like, in-between millennial, Gen Zer, depending on who you ask and what chart you're looking at.
Yeah.
I've noticed over the last, like, year or so, people have become incredibly hornier.
There's been more thirst.
Yes, for horror icons, particularly Ghostface.
Yeah.
And Michael Myers. It's very interesting. Ghostface in particular, there's a trend on TikTok where like people are like very thirsty for Ghostface.
That's so fascinating.
Which I think is interesting because I'm like been there, done that, got the t-shirt. But
that's awesome.
It's very interesting because I'm like, oh, okay, so I'm not like a total weirdo, but it's interesting to see like the change of people being terrified to being horny. Mm-hmm. as I like to say, scared and horny live next to each other.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, 100%.
But the memes, or even, like, I will say overall in the last couple of years, or just from what I've observed, even growing up, when it comes to Michael Myers, like, people know who he is without having ever seen a Halloween movie.
Yeah, like, he's like almost like an American legend or folklore.
100%. Exactly. Like, even me, before I started watching the Halloween movies, like, I knew who he was. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone knows who he is. So, in his own way, he's already cemented himself in, like, American legend.
Yes, right. Definitely.
So, and I don't think that's going to change anytime soon.
I think it's only going to get stronger.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, like, it's really funny when people, like, put their dogs or kids in, like, little Michael Myers costumes and then they run around and then they just, like, look very menacing. Like, they look very scary.
There is a new one that surfaced the internet this week about the kid who was on Haystack.
That one was so good.
He fell and then he does and he just rose up. He did the, I was like, wow.
Dude.
That kid is like, what, 10? I thought that was so cool.
I love that.
That shit went viral. I was like, holy shit.
He knows the sit.
Yeah. So if I can just piggyback a little bit on the horniness part.
Oh, please.
I just want to give a little shout out to...
Isolate that sentence for sure.
I just piggyback on the horniness.
If I could just give a shout out to Savannah. She gave me a print of this, and I just couldn't stop looking at that ass.
Damn.
So Michael Myers, like a sexy Michael
Myers.
It's up, hit up.
But look at the ass on Michael Myers over there. Like, it's like,
she's got cheeks.
Yeah. So I was like, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, 100%.
I want to take that and put it on the Instagram and be like, our latest episode with no context.
Oh, that's a good... I love that. Do that, please. Oh, that's going to be great. But, like, to kind of go off that point, though, Michael Myers being, like, a part of Americana, I think it's because even if you've never watched a movie, Michael Myers is scary.
Yeah.
He looks scary.
I've never watched a single movie.
Yeah, but, like, I think there's something about the way kids know about Myers. That 10-year-old was able to pull off something from the movie because it was just something that they probably had on. Right. That people just... It's so spread out that I love how the internet, because he's such a foundational part of our culture now, I love the way the internet's like, but how can we, like, fuck with this? Yeah. Like, how can we turn this on its head a little bit, dress up kids? I see people doing TikToks where Michael Myers is dancing and it's like, oh, Halloween time, baby. And he's like ready to stalk Lori. But like, it becomes its own meta storyline and meta take on Myers. That's fun.
Right.
That's super fun.
Yeah. There was this really fun TikTok trend where one of my friends actually did it where it's like, Michael Myers is trying to, like, get it. It's, like, someone walking behind you really slowly and you're trying to get into, like, your house or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, how quickly can you get into your house when someone's, like, walking behind you? And it was a really funny trend for, like, a week, as trends are wont to do.
Mm-hmm.
But, It was just fun because because you also put like the Halloween music and the person holding the camera is the one walking towards you, so it's like from like Michael's perspective. Exactly. It's really funny.
That's hilarious. It's cool to see kids do like if we were like, I don't know, older. I don't even know. Maybe a little more conservative. We'd probably be like, oh yeah, cool. Dress up your kid as a psycho killer. Yeah, go ahead. That's real good parenting. Obviously, you know. The kids who are doing that to the kids are telling them, hey, dude, it's like wrestling. It's fake. Don't fucking kill people. You know?
Well, it's also like, you dress your kid up like a chicken. Doesn't mean you want them to be a chicken.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. If we were a little more conservative, you know, we'd probably be saying some shit like that. But I'm thinking like, you know, I think it's cool. I like it. I dig it. You see, I saw this video of a guy holding a chihuahua pinhead, and the video title just said Heck Razor. That was so cool. So,
I've seen that,
dude. I think it's cool. Like, I mean, here in American culture, like, it's cool. The dude's an icon, right? Except the only reason why I don't think American society praises Michael Myers the way we do to Batman or James Bond or anything like that is because he's a fucking killer. He literally ends people's lives.
But I would argue when you think, because those are heroes, right?
Yeah.
But then if you flip it and you think like, the best villains or the best, like, horror icons.
That's true. Joker iconography, all
Joker,
that shit.
Joker, you think...
Michael Myers.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So if you think, like, on the flip side of it, they're the antithesis to the heroes.
Exactly. And they will have their fans.
100%. 100% agree with that. So, yeah, that's where I think we stand on it. He's more like a... The dude's an icon. You know, I think he's one of the bigger names in horror cinema. You know, I think he's up there for sure with like Freddy, Jason.
You
know,
oh, no.
The, you know, like people have their own Mount Rushmore of horror icons. He's definitely in mine.
To me, he's the fucking George Washington. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. So, like, but yeah, he's the dude's an icon.
Well,
I mean,
to touch on that a little bit too, like, because he's such an icon, I think the fact that Spooky Season and, like, the enthusiasm for Halloween has its own audience of people that are growing and growing and growing. Right. He is a good representation of that.
Yeah.
So that's why he's so front and center on a lot of these creative takes when people are like, fuck yeah, it's spooky season time.
Also, he kind of got the licensing, right? Like, he is Halloween.
He is Halloween. Yeah.
So that's he kind of won the brand war with that. You know, it's not the same when you think of, like, Friday the 13th. Friday the 13th are summer movies for me.
Yeah.
They're not Halloween movies.
True. But when Friday the 13th comes during the year, people are like, it's fucking time, baby.
Right. But then you get Jason a little... you get a little bit of Halloween whenever Friday the 13th rolls around, but it's still very much like they're summer camp movies.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Like, I think of Friday the 13th is very much summer camp movies, even though they don't always take place at a summer camp.
Yeah.
Versus,
I dig that.
Mm. Versus, like, even let's go through some other horror icons like Nightmare on Elm Street. Like, those still have like a summery feel or like an early fall feel.
Yeah.
Just my two cents. Versus,
there's horror films where you don't have to just watch it in October. There's plenty of horror films where you can watch it in fucking January. There's Christmas horror films out there.
Exactly.
You know?
I just mean that in this case for Halloween, like it is.
He won the branding award.
Right. He is Halloween.
Yeah.
Like, and that's why when you think of like spooky season films, like that's part of the reason that we fucking cover Halloween during October, right? Like, you know, so
exactly.
What if Halloween ends does something so crazy, something bizarre, and just have it set in like 4th of July or something, or Christmas.
Oh my god.
Oh man, that'd be fucking insane.
Dude. Yeah.
Like I said, I'm fairly nervous here for Halloween.
I know. We'll have our thoughts. Yeah. We will have our thoughts. Okay, cool. So, fun question. You get to become drinking buddies with one version of Michael Myers from any movie that we've covered so far on the podcast. What kind of drunk are they? And at what point does the situation become a little more murderous?
Oh, God.
Yeah. So you got Nick Castle, fucking Halloween 1, Michael Myers. You got Halloween 2, Fat Face Boy. Halloween 4, Husky Boy Myers. Halloween 5, Shit Mask. Halloween 6, even huskier Boy Myers.
Yeah, I was going to go. I'll go with Halloween 6, Michael Myers. If we're going to go drinking, I want to get drunk to the point where I'm like, hey, bro, you want to see some freaky shit tonight? And I'm like, take me. Let's go.
Sex pervert Myers, huh?
I got some friends. I don't know about the whole incest stuff, but I was like, yo, dude, you... you know what? Like this, show me some cute cult leaders.
Yeah,
you got any hot hotties in your cult? Let's check it out. And then that's probably where I'll end up getting killed.
Yeah, you're like, hey, can you explain to me like this whole thorn?
Yeah,
thing
like,
right
what are we doing? Oh, do I get a tattoo? I don't have a tattoo. Do you guys have a tattoo?
He just starts crying.
Yeah, because we start at a bar, but we'll end up at a place where it's like filled with candles and fucking.
You're like, oh shit.
I'm like, oh hey, all right, I'm gonna be like Sean and What We Do in the Shadows. You're a vampire too? Get the fuck out of here! I'm gonna be that guy.
Oh.
I'm gonna be Sean from What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, that's fucking great.
That's my answer.
That's your answer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how about you, Alex?
This is difficult because I think. Eventually, no matter what, I'm getting murked at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's kind of the end story of all of us. Yeah.
I'm gonna go OG.
Yeah.
Nice.
OG.
He seemed quiet.
Yeah.
He'd be a fun like he'd be a cool drunk to just chill with.
Yeah. He seemed, like just a good quiet drink, which I fucks with. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And I talk a lot, so I think it would be really easy.
Oh, I can picture that. You just, like, detailing things. He's just there like,
okay.
She just left the house. I'm going to be right back.
You're right.
Yeah, and he comes back.
Just, like, hold that thought.
Mm-hmm.
He fucks off.
I would probably be, and I didn't think about this question at all, so I'm just going to go off the cuff here. I'm going to go with...
You wrote the question.
I know. I'm going to go with my digital era Halloween Resurrection, Michael Myers.
Interesting.
Because I want...
He does seem like the funniest.
He seems like the most harmless one out of all the other Myers. So I'm like... I mean, yeah, he's the first one that had a decapitation or whatever it is.
Whatever.
But also, I would kind of want to hear his take on, like, dude, so, like, Do you have a Sangha? Like, how does this go? Like how's this working in the internet age for you, Mr. Myers? And I think we'd have a good conversation before he finally gets frustrated with my incessant questioning and just takes me out with the rest of the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He seems like he might play along with your antics for a minute, because there's that scene where Busta Rhymes was wearing a Michael Myers mask. He's like, get the fuck out of here.
Exactly.
He actually did. He's like,
I can, like, boss him around a little bit.
I'm going to let you have this one, Busta. And he actually plays around with your shit.
He'd be like that fake Milhouse in The Simpsons. He's like, hey, do you need a best friend? Because I need somebody to boss me around.
There you go. Oh my god, dude.
Yeah. So, I don't know. This Myers, he just seems like a little, like, the most harmless, but to a point. You know?
I do think that he is the most comedically inclined, so that makes perfect sense that that's the one that you're
saying. Yeah, I think we'd be having a good time for a little bit. You know, I'm like, hey, dude, troll these fucking people. Let's talk some shit. But he'd take it too far.
Right.
Yeah. One roundhouse kick, though, I think it'll subdue him.
Fletcher, can I answer a question that you have here?
Yeah, or present it, whatever you
want. You wrote, what other filmmaker would have had a unique take on John Carpenter's Halloween?
Oh, yes.
And I'm just a little disappointed that Rob Zombie didn't go full zombie on this. He might as well.
I think that goes to the studio interference.
Mm-hmm. Right? Okay, but here's one man who would not allow any of that shit. He's like, no, motherfuckers. You let me do this, or I walk. And it's David Lynch.
I knew you were going to say David Lynch. I fucking knew it.
David Lynch's remake of the original?
Fuck.
Oh, my God. I didn't even think about that.
When the second you said he wouldn't allow any studio interference, I'm like, it's fucking David Lynch. It's fucking
thank you.
David
thank
Lynch.
You know me so well. Seriously.
There you go.
So, yeah, no, 100%. I would, like, look, I feel like Zombie was trying to go for the Lynch shit in Halloween 2. Mm-hmm. It just didn't work. Execution was wrong. I was like, dude, your shit is not... You're not David Lynch, bro.
Yeah.
You are not doing that shit here. If you ever, like, get a chance to watch Halloween 2, because I'm really interested to hear what you think.
Oh, we're going to talk about it in April. Don't worry.
Because it's a completely different movie than this 2007.
It's way fucking different.
Yeah.
Way fucking different.
It's super fucking weird. And
then you'll be back for when we talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
But I think David Lynch for sure would be like, look, dude, either we do this my way or no way, or I just walk. And
You know what? On that question, I would actually say also, I would love to see a remake. Same story of the first one, or whatever their take is. Give me Darren Aronofsky, baby.
Darren Aronofsky.
Give me this weird-ass, like
cerebral kind of shit.
Exactly.
Instead of a piano, he'd be using violins, like, from Requiem for a Dream. But
ding, 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 you know, stealing
I would love to hear a violin, cover of the Halloween theme. That would be sick.
Darren Aronofsky also has a weird brutality to some of his scenes, but he doesn't flood it. It's like sparse, which is perfect for the storyline of Halloween. Mm-hmm. So when things get brutal, I feel like I would not be able to look at the screen if Darren Aronofsky is doing it.
That would be a perfect thing to take some of the scenes from Perfect Blue.
Yeah.
Like some of the kill scenes from Perfect Blue.
Oh, like the elevator shit?
That's a good one. And then also the producer when he gets stabbed in the eye with a fucking pick. That'd be sick.
Or even the way like Mima runs. Mm-hmm. Like the way Myers would move in a Darren Aronofsky movie would be fucking insane.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
The director I would love to see redo Halloween would be the awesome director, Phil Acevedo.
Oh! Oh my god! Oh. Dang, you threw me off with that one. I was really intrigued. I'm like, who? No, honestly...
I would love to see...
No, honestly, and here's the thing, too. I'm really not trying to talk shit on Rob Zombie here, cause I think, but I just felt like it was not a labor of love with Rob Zombie. I felt like he wanted to remake a Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie, if anything, because it felt very Chainsaw Massacre-like because of the environment he grew up in.
It's the hillbilly thing, right?
Exactly. So I felt like he was more interested in remaking a Chainsaw Massacre movie, but he ended up doing a Halloween movie. Mm-hmm. And so I think, as a big fucking fan of this franchise, I would love to do that.
Interesting.
I'm not trying to like tune my own horn here, but you know, I would go. I would need a big budget. Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. You know, but 100%. I would fucking love to.
Well, if you think about it, most people who've made Halloween films didn't care for Halloween.
Look,
they did not care for Halloween films.
And as I mentioned before, I don't think Halloween Ends is going to be the final Halloween movie.
No, hell no.
If this thing keeps going for 20...
I was just talking about this.
If this thing keeps going for another 20, 30 years, I would love to get a crack at it. I just need to like sharpen my tools a little bit more as a fucking filmmaker. And if I make my way with the right agent, I'm like, dude, get me in... front of my Leica card. I need to have a meeting with that dude.
I have ideas.
So, yeah, yeah, exactly. So, like, if this thing, if this franchise is alive for the next 10, 15 years, I don't know, enough the time that I need to fucking sharpen my shit, then yeah.
Okay.
I would love to.
It's always going
to
be alive, dude. It's Halloween. Michael Myers don't die.
Yeah.
He don't die.
Yeah, yeah. That's very true.
Now that we got through there, kill of the film. A lot of kills in this one. A lot of kills.
Poof.
Yeah.
Every time it's I don't even know this fucker's name, but the dude who gets pinned to the wall.
Yeah.
Every time. Anytime you can stab someone once and pin them to the wall, I'm like, ooh.
If you're Tyler Mane, you can do it.
Yeah, right.
I'm trying to think of the best one, but I can tell you the worst one.
Mm.
Where he killed his stepdad. The dude can't move or walk at all, and you Home Alone styled him, fucking duct tape around him, you know, just to slice his throat. Slice his throat from the beginning. You don't need duct tape.
Fucking Michael McAllister.
Yeah. The best one.
Oh my god! Could you imagine fucking young Michael being played by fucking?
Macaulay Culkin.
Macaulay Culkin.
Oh my god.
That's fucking terrifying.
Or Macaulay Culkin versus Michael Myers.
Oh shit.
At the old Myers house. He's just a bunch of traps
and
there.
And it's him trying to break in into Kevin McAllister's house.
Oh shit.
Kevin McAllister versus Michael
now
Myers.
This is the story I need to pitch to Melinda.
Right? Fucking Michael Myers. He gets electrocuted. Has the same skeleton.
Yeah.
Rory Culkin could do a creepy young Michael, I think.
Yeah, okay.
Because, he does creepy.
Okay.
Because he was in Scream. Yeah.
How old is that dude? Like 20 something?
He's like 25? My age, yeah. Or he's like maybe a couple years younger.
Also, like 14.
Okay, fuck you.
Oh, man.
Man, yeah, Kill the Film's hard for me on this one, actually. Because they kind of all. They're pretty brutal, actually.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel good about it.
Oh my god, what's the dude's name who's a truck driver in the bathroom?
Oh yeah, the tall guy.
Yeah, but he's like in horror films.
Grizzly.
Was, like, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
But wasn't he in like the original Dawn of the Dead or something?
He was in. Yes, I think so. But he was also. He's also a Rob Zombie like.
Kind of like Sid Haig.
Sid Haig's in this, yeah. Freaking Bill Moseley also, but he was in House of a Thousand Corpses.
He was also in Keenan and Kel. He was the dad.
The way you looked down at him was just like kind of like he's also, like,
he was also in Keenan and Kel.
Phil was like, I'm gonna make this reference, but here it goes. actually, behind the scenes thing. So when they filmed that scene, they legitimately broke a bathroom. That wasn't a prop restroom at all.
Yeah,
like
those
were
two big dudes.
They were going so hard at it. They're like, "Fuck, let's just keep filming. Just keep pay for it later."
That's cool.
That's fun.
Yeah, for me, the murder the fuck out of Junie.
just this huge fucking stick.
I'm just like, you know what? Fuck that guy.
Well, I think it's kind of brutal because like he like doesn't die right away, so he's like, "Please don't kill me."
You can see him slowly disintegrating into death. Like he's like, slowly just dying.
The practical effects for him was really really brutal because he's like covered in blood on his face and like his eye is like kind of is bleeding also. Like I'm like, oh my god, he looks rough.
Yeah, it's fucking. Yeah. It's a nasty kill, but also. You know,
I agree. That was a good one. It really set the tone for the rest of the movie. That's for
it
sure.
Did. It, and again, remember when I watched it the first time in theaters, the whole crowd was like, "Fucking, this is the kind of movie we're watching." Yeah. Holy shit! There was a good air of like, we were not prepared for this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. So now, what would you guys rate Halloween 07 out of 5 topless chasings?
I will give it 3.25.
Oh, 3.25. All right. That's some high praise right there. Nice.
Yeah, not quite a 3.5 for me, but also not quite a 3.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was very fun.
Okay. Yeah.
How about you, Phil?
Oh, fuck. I'm conflicted between 2.75 or 3. Can we do 2.85?
You can do 2.85.
You can do whatever you want. He came in with some weird-ass decimals.
I've done some weird ones, so...
Yeah. What about 2.99? No, I mean, you know what? All right, you know what? Might as well just go 3. I'm going to go 3.
You go 3?
Yeah, 3. It's because it's... The word that I want to say here is safe, I guess.
Okay.
Because, dude, I mean, you're coming from Halloween Resurrection. This is probably the safest...
Interesting.
...surface level.
I'd say it's gratuitous.
Really?
Well, it's, like, safe for...
safe for the No, I wouldn't say the fandom either. Like,
I just think it was like, I mean, like, no, I'm not talking about cleanliness either, because it's very dirty, it's gritty, it's, you know, it's definitely
of its era though. Yeah, like a lot of movies at the time were like
that. But also, dude, you can tell that like it's not fully Rob Zombie.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But dude, this is the era where like horror, not just horror, but franchises in general were getting the reboot. James Bond, Daniel Craig, mm-hmm. Christopher Nolan, Batman Begins.
That's a good
Rob
point.
Zombie. No, I. Halloween. Yeah. So like, it's the gritty reboot of a very popular franchise. Mm-hmm. So the Batman Begins treatment, the Daniel Craig James Bond, like, in, you know, it's the same era.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, it's the same era where this, where all these movies, gritty reboots, were all coming surfacing. You know.
Yeah.
And I just felt like it was the safe approach. Like, it was cool. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I liked it a lot back in 07, but now it's like, all right, what was I so excited about? I was like, all right, I get it. It's safe. It's cool.
Yeah.
But it's not like H2O where I can have on the background while I'm doing something. Mm-hmm. H2O I can throw on all the time.
Yeah.
This one I can probably revisit every once in a great while.
That makes sense.
So maybe a 3, I guess.
I'm actually going to go a little lower. I'm going to go 2.75.
I was debating.
Because I don't think it's a 3. Yeah. I don't think it's as good to be a 3. Yeah. But there's a lot of good qualities. I think it's more than, you know, our scale, like 2.5 would be half. Mm-hmm. I think it's more than half. But it's just not a 3.
Yeah.
But it's just not a 3.
Right.
A rare
right.
instance in which I rate higher than Anthony.
That's true. Yeah. I don't. Yeah. But then, you know, again, if I were to base it off my first time screening on this would have been a, like, 4.
Yeah.
I would have, like, I'm like, oh my fucking god, this movie. But over the years, it's been distilled.
Right.
And I would say 2.75.
Well.
I don't think so. Yeah, again, because like, I'm with you on that. I can watch H2O. I can even watch the Thorn trilogy and slap it on the back and be okay.
But of course.
Even though I rank this higher than the Thorn trilogy, there's something about the cheesy weirdness of it that I can just be like, I'm going to like do side work.
Yeah.
And it's on.
Out of the entire franchise, I'm glad the Thorn trilogy exists. The remake. If I had to execute something out, well, maybe Resurrection's a safe choice. But besides Resurrection, I'd probably boot the Rob Zombie movies out.
And you know what? I think I would like this more if 2 was better.
Yeah.
But 2 isn't.
It's not.
So it really kind of fucks this movie a little more.
That's fair.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Hurts. Yeah, that sequel did hurt this one a lot more.
Yeah, 2.75 topless chase scenes. Let's go.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any final thoughts before we wrap up this slightly longer than expected episode?
Love hurts.
God damn it, I can't top that.
Damn. All right. I think that's it for this week. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. Thank you for guesting.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me once again.
Thank you.
Always, always a fun time hanging out with you guys.
Yes. Oh,
appreciate it.
You are great.
Next week.
All right. Next week, we are going back to the universe of one of our most popular episodes.
That's true. Very surprising. We were going to do a whole different episode type, but I got COVID.
Yeah.
And so
we
couldn't
COVID,
do it.
So we can't do it, which sucks because I've been trying to do this episode for like that particular episode for like a year and a half. But
yeah.
That's fine.
we'll keep going. We're fine.
We'll do it eventually.
2023, baby. Let's go.
God, it's not a real year. Anyway, so join us next week for that. That's all I'm going to say on that. I'm very excited.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of discussion about how much Anthony and I both love goth women.
Yes, there definitely will be.
Nice.
So join us next week for that. In the meantime, hope you all are enjoying our Halloween October spooktacular.
Yay.
We have 2 more awesome picks coming for you. Next week, we also will be in New Orleans. So
Nice. Stay
tuned for that. I'm sure we'll be posting many a spooky activity on our socials if you would like to stay up to date with that. And where you can find our socials, you can stay up to date on all of the latest and greatest of all of our podcast shenanigans on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are on Facebook and Twitter at Horror People Pod, and we are on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORRORBLE People's Podcast. You can find Anthony on Twitter and Instagram at Hyrulean Hustler.
Still not tweeting after 4 years.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop. I am slowly stopping tweeting, but that's fine. I'm on there from time to time. I'll retweet some fun stuff.
My life's on IG. Follow me on IG.
It's true. We're both very, very active.
Some fans actually have, so I'm just like, oh, cool. Okay.
Phil, plug your shit.
So I started going back on YouTube a little more, so you can find me at Philip Acevedo. That's two L's. And Instagram, and also slowly stepping away from Twitter, thanks to the Halloween's End spoiler that I saw.
Boo.
Yeah, so at Shut the Philip on Instagram. And yeah, thanks you guys for having me here.
Yeah.
I had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and until next time... I was good to you, Mikey.
Oh, why would you end it like that? Oh, God. What am I listening to here?
Why are you showing me? Come on.
No.
Bye, guys.
See ya.
Bye.